All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Since we're in Revelation 13 right now, we're going to do a series of studies on the number of the beast. Have you ever had one of those moments when you are searching and searching for an answer in God's Word, and then all of a sudden, wow, there it is. And you say, how come I didn't see that before? Well, that sort of just happened to me here lately. You know, I've been researching the number of the beast off and on during the last 20 years or so. And I've never been quite satisfied with the answers I've come up with. I mean, I've gained a little bit here and there, a little bit of understanding. But just recently, I've gained a much clearer view on this topic. Do I understand it all? No, but I feel like I understand a lot more about it, and I want to share as much as I can with you in this series. This first study we're going to do in this series is going to sort of be an overview of a lot of the other studies we're going to get into. I mean, it might even seem a little deep for some of you right off the bat, but because when we get into this, you might be shocked, amazed, or even in denial of some of the things we're going to point out to you in this series of studies. So just hang tight, pray about some of the things we're going to cover, and ask God to give you eyes to see and ears to hear. And not only that, but when we get into some of this information, we should also pray that God allow us, or we ask that God help us to use some of this deeper wisdom and knowledge from his word and from some of the information we gain from the enemy. We ask that he help us use that in a wise manner. Use it in a way that's going to further his kingdom. Use it in a way that doesn't destroy our credibility. And I'm not saying that we have to keep our credibility with people who hate us and things like that, but I'm talking about people that are, you know, might catch on to this. We want to present it in a way that that they can grasp and get a start on it without purposely offending them. Anyways, I guess that's our prayer. Heavenly Father, help us do that. Help us have eyes to see and ears to hear, and help us use this wisdom that we are going to gain here in this series of studies for the purpose of benefiting your kingdom. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to start this out by reading Revelation 13, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. We talked about that in our last study. We spent the whole study talking about wisdom and understanding and how important that is for us to have. This is God's challenge to us to figure this out. Well, I'm going to read a quote here from a book by E.W. Bullinger, an excellent biblical scholar, titled Number in Scripture. And here it is. He says, but 666 was the secret symbol of the ancient pagan mysteries connected with the worship of the devil. It is today the secret connecting link between those ancient mysteries and their modern revival in spiritualism, theosophy, etc. The number 6 was stamped on the old mysteries. The great secret symbol consisted of the three letters SSS, or Sigma, 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 because the letter S in the letter sigma in the Greek alphabet was the symbol of the figure 6. And that's from page 283. I want you to keep that in your mind. And that's what we're, That's one of the things I've really discovered in this last round of research on this number, is that it truly is the secret connecting link between all of the ancient pagan mysteries, pagan mystery religions, and what we're seeing happening today. This plan of the adversary, of building a new world order, worldwide socialism, under the leadership of the Antichrist or the false Messiah, has been in the workings for many, many years. Thousands of years. And I'm going to read another quote of his. Then you can find this in the side column of your companion Bible if you have one. From Revelation 13, verse 18, on page 1901 of the Companion Bible by E.W. Bollinger. And it reads, the three letters SSS equal 666 formed the symbol of Isis and the secret symbol of the old mysteries, that ancient mysteries and modern beliefs are becoming closely allied. Witness the rapid growth and spread of spiritism, theosophy, and occultism of every kind. Now, this is one of the major breakthroughs that I had. I mean, I've read this before, and I've never taken it to the point that I've taken it this time. This 666 came from the false goddess named Isis. Now, many of you have heard of the Isis terrorist group today, and there is a link there, I believe, that we're going to get into. And it's going to, some of you might be looking at it and you'll be, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Some of you might be in denial. But either way, you need to do your own research on this. We're going to research it as much as we can, but don't just stop where we leave off. Do your own. Check us out. Make sure we're telling you the truth. Verify it for yourself. You know, that's actually what part of counting the number of the beast is. To enumerate, to verify by contact. And so on. And we're going to talk about it here in a second. So this Isis, this goddess of named Isis, you know, we've been talking a lot about the evil trinity of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And that the beast is actually the son of Satan, as in opposition to the son of God in Satan's false trinity. And I had no idea that when I was going to do this research on Isis, that this would back up what I had already taught on that topic that much more. And God told us to do this. He said, count the number of the beast. We'll reread it here. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding. What did God mean when he said, whoever has understanding? Well, it's someone who has studied. Someone who has put in a bunch of research, not only in God's word, but someone who has understanding of the enemy. Of the enemy. And sometimes that takes researching and reading their stuff, so you know what's in their mind. That's part of how you count, how you enumerate, how you verify by contact. And that is a huge part of understanding the number of the beast. And I have it right here. Count the number. So we got the symbol of Isis. Now, how do we do that? Well, How do we count the number of the beast? How do we enumerate over a long period of time and verify by contact, by coming in contact with them, with their teachings, with their strategems, with their philosophies? Well, you have to go and check them out. Well, the ancient mysteries here. Those are most all of the ancient pagan religions. They were built off all these different mysteries, all these different levels. You know, you'd have the masses on one level, and then the really ambitious people from the masses could start elevating through different levels of initiation. And they would give those people more knowledge of the secrets, the great secrets. And it was Satan's way of gaining recruits and his way of seducing people into worshiping him. Many times, a lot of the time, the initiates had no idea on the lower levels until the higher you got up, then you started realizing that this is the worship of Lucifer. Just like the Illuminati. Many of you have probably heard of that. The illuminated ones, the ones that wear the serpents on their head. Serpent meaning those illuminated by Lucifer. And that's what you'll see in a lot of the ancient mystery religions. There are serpents everywhere connected with these. Because the serpent was the symbol of all the mysteries. All right, so we'll talk a lot about that. Spiritism. You have to learn a little bit about Spiritism to try to figure this out. Theosophy. We'll talk about that. Occultism. And so on. These are just some of the areas that are part of counting the number of the beast. Some of the areas that God's servants need to study. Now, I must warn you and caution you. When you do venture off and read some of their writings, watch some of their videos, and you expose yourself to some of the stuff, you might want to do so in prayer beforehand, that God strengthen you and keep you and deliver you from temptation. Because some of the stuff can suck you in when you're reading some of their philosophies. And it's designed to trap its victims and get a hold of their minds. So you have to be careful. And that's why God said this wisdom is for those with understanding. It's not necessarily for the beginner Christian. This is for those who are ready to gain ready to take in deep meat. You know, God has initiates in his kingdom. It's the opposite. The word initiate isn't bad. You can be an initiate into God's kingdom by God giving you eyes to see and ears to hear. And the symbolism of being an initiate is the baptism. Dying and resurrecting with Christ, putting this flesh down. But remember, the enemies have initiations as well. And 666 plays a vital role in that process of initiation, as we're going to find out. So anyways, let's move on. Well, I'll just talk about this. You know, you might, when you read mythology, you have read about a lot of pagan religions. To most of you, it's pretty boring. It's like, this goddess did this and she fell down and laid an egg or whatever. And some of it's designed to kind of confuse the person. But when you start cracking the codes, the meanings of those seemingly frivolous, worthless stories, and you start cracking those codes and you line them up with God's Word, then you become very astute and in tune to the plots and plans of the enemy. And why do you want to do that? Well, so you can warn others, so that you can beware of the deceiver, so that, you know, when you know what he's doing and you see it come towards you, you can say, whoa, that's Satan. That's that old serpent. Trying to deceive me. But if you don't know what he's up to and you're ignorant of his machinations, his plans, his stratagem, then you can be sucked in by it on many different levels. Our goal here in this study is to try to get you to the point, if you're not there already, and if you're someone who is in tune to a lot of this stuff, maybe you'll learn some things from us from a little different perspective that'll fill in some of the gaps. But we want to take this information so that we can be trained and ready for battle. Because we are living in a very dangerous age where the 666 is all around us, trying to penetrate our minds, trying to penetrate our souls, our thinking process. As the serpent hisses and encircles this age, we have to be alert. This is very, very serious stuff. We're a lot farther along than many might think. Satan has been manipulating this world for some time now and is getting ready to do some of the final stages of his plan. All right. Boy, we're already into this a little ways. And I got a lot of slides to cover, so we'll move on here. The New Age movement is, many of you have probably heard of it, the New Age movement. It's really nothing but a continuation of the old pagan mystery religions, all of them combined into one. And one of the great researchers of this movement, one of the pioneers that exposed a lot of this stuff, was a woman by the name, she was a lawyer by the name of Constance Cumby. In a book titled The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And there you see it there. You see the rainbow and you see all these different signs in here. All the different symbols of the enemy. Very important stuff. So if you haven't ever read through that book helps give you a good foundation of some of the things we're going to talk about in this series. It's an eye-opener. It's huge. Matter of fact, if you haven't studied that book, if you haven't got that book, go find it. Get on Amazon or wherever you can and get that book and read through it a number of times if you have to. And we're going to take some of the things that she brought out and maybe bring them a little bit closer to what I feel is a little bit more accurate to the Genesis 3:15 prophecy of the serpent seed, which, you know, that's something you'll notice. When you get a lot of researchers, some of them focus in on an area and they're really great. They do fantastic research. And what I found, though, is some of them are missing some of the pieces. Some of the pieces. And the number one piece that they're missing is the teaching of the serpent seed. It's the foundation of all this stuff. Genesis 3:15, that there would be a war between the woman's seed and the serpent seed. Anyways, Some of the things she'll point out in here is she points out some works by the New Agers. One of them is a book titled The Aquarian Conspiracy, Personal and Social Transformation in Our Time by Marilyn Ferguson. If you look around, the age of Aquarius really is already here. It's already here. And if you look closely at this, and we're going to point out this more as we get through here, you'll see here there are intertwined sixes, three of them here. And you have to kind of look at it to catch it. But once you start recognizing them, you will see them just about everywhere that someone tries to hide them. Someone tries to hide them. And here they did so in a way, Marilyn Ferguson did so in a way to show you that they are a trinity, 666. All right. And we'll see paganism today this is an important one. Paganism is promoted by the music industry, especially in heavy metal, rock, pop, and rap. Here's a heavy metal album here. It says a tribute to Iron Maiden. And you see here this Baphomet guy here, this beast with two horns. And he's doing all kinds of occultic gestures and symbols. And then here you have the phallic symbol with the twisted serpents. So we'll probably dissect this more as we get into this series. And it says down here, of course, 666, the number one beast with a little triangle pyramid there. Now, some of these things are obvious to people. You might see this right here. You might say, well, I'd never fall into that trap. I don't listen to Iron Maiden. I'm telling you this. It's not just in the obvious. You're going to find out that 666 is also worked into things that seem really loving, really caring. Here's a rap album by a group titled the 3-6 Mafia, or 666. The most known unknown. You know, trying to use some occultic mystery stuff there. The unknown. It's all over the place. And here he is doing devil symbol, and he's doing stuff. And, you know, isn't it great? This is what our kids are listening to today. I hope yours aren't. I hope you're paying attention to what's going on. Anyways, this you see here, and most people do this and they have no idea, and a lot of people do this symbol here, that this is Michael Jackson when he was a kid, and many of people think of this symbol as, yeah, A-OK. But there are others. There's an esoteric meaning to it, a secret meaning. That's what the word esoteric means. In many symbols, there's this open meaning or kind of a generic meaning for the uninitiated. They think it means something else, but the initiated ones, those who are illuminated, understand this symbol as meaning 666. Because you see here, he's forming the bottom of the six, and there's the first six, there's the second six, and there's the third six. That's a 666 hand sign. And you'll see that the Beatles use it as well. As well as the devil horns. And if you know anything about the Beatles, if you listen to any of their lyrics for any amount of time, it becomes obvious that they were promoting occultism, New Age. Ultimately, Satanism. Because many of their songs, some in code, you'll see that they, some in code and some not, supporting one worldism, occultism, like I mentioned, and sorcery. Do you remember the song Imagine? That's just right out in the open. The whole song Imagine is getting the listeners to imagine a one world system. Without boundaries, without nations. And you have to listen to that closely. Lady Gaga. Many of you are familiar with her stuff. Here she is doing the 666 symbol, as well as she's adding in here the eye. Now, this is known as the Eye of Horus. Now, Horus, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, Horus was the son of Isis. Was the son of Isis. By Osiris. Meaning Satan and the false line having a child. Satan's child, Horus. That's what it is. It's the beast of Revelation 13. All right. So here's Lady Gaga doing it again. You see that these symbols mean something to them. Here it is right here. A triangle with the Eye of Horus and all these rays of light coming from it. You know, here she is doing some obscene sexual gesture. This stuff is real. It's not pretend. They're not playing around. It's not just a stage gimmick, although many might perceive it as such, but those who are designing all these rituals for a lot of these pop stars, writing their lyrics, they know what they're doing. And a lot of the stars will just do it because they want the fame. And they know that if they cooperate, and if they do all this goofy stuff and, you know, wear no clothes and do sexual gyrations on stage, that they'll get somewhere. They'll get to be very important. People will cheer for them. And that's how Satan gets initiates. Beyonce, this one. We'll go in more in depth on this one. And we might even show some videos. Video clips of her. Very demonic stuff coming from this woman. She even admits it. That she has a demon named Sasha Fierce. That possesses her. When she's on stage. And if we show some video clips of that, you will see what I'm talking about. But here she is doing the triple sixes with the Eye of Horus. Here's somebody else here. I'm not sure who that is. I don't know if that's just a dancer on one of their stages. And of course, Madonna. You know, the mother goddess. The goddess of pop music. Doing the secret 666. Hand sign. Wearing her serpent on her head. You see that there? The serpent coming out and all this other stuff are probably supposed to be multi-serpents like the Medusa. She's so illuminated, right? So wise. Do you know one of her other names that she tried to rename herself was Esther? You got it, Esther. And there's a good reason for that. And I'll be bringing that book up. If you have never done our series on the book of Esther, that's going to go great hand in hand with this series of studies. It's so important. Many people will deny it. And some of you will be shocked and amazed at what the story of Esther is really about. And here she is again. This was at the Super Bowl 2012 halftime show. Madonna here, look at her. She looks so glorious, right? This, if you would have watched this on TV and you were attuned to some of these things, it was nothing but a pagan, satanic ritual that she performed. And thousands, oh, probably millions of Americans participated in it, most unknowing, not knowing what was happening. And you'll see that there's all kinds of hidden things. You look down here, you have these two pillars, which are probably the two pillars of Isis that we'll be talking about. These look like these Egyptians here with these illuminated eyes, look demonic. Dark and demonic, and the cobra head and the snake on top. nothing in these videos anymore is by accident or for play. This is serious. They are trying to summons in spirits, demonics, and ultimately their God, Lucifer. Here we have the United Nations Assembly here, and you'll notice the usage of six. It was their 60th anniversary. You know, wonderful, right? 60, six, six, six. You see it there? Hidden. And we'll talk about why they hide this stuff a little bit later when we get to the end. Here's something that might surprise some of you. The Google Chrome symbol. You see here, craftily hidden are three sixes. Three sixes, six, six, six. And you might be thinking, Pastor Ben, you're kind of reaching here. I mean, are you going to make sixes out of everything? Well, some of this stuff, yeah, may be speculation. Don't believe it until you check it out. But when you find out what Google is up to, some of the things they're working on, then it's not really that much of a surprise that they would hide 666 in here. Right? Remember the eye here in the middle, the eye of Horus? Here you have what Google is working on, and they're getting, every time we search something on Google, all the movements we make, they're recording all of this stuff to try to create artificial intelligence, to try to understand how the human brain works, so that they can do what? Well, ultimately, so that we move into this age of transhumanism where they converge man with machine to make man more intelligent, to make man live longer, to make man into some sort of a god, like Batman, or some of those other superheroes. And here, what you see here is also, with the 666 symbol, is a electronic or bionic eye. Symbolizing, I believe, artificial intelligence, like an eye of a robot. I mean, we are moving into some crazy times with technology where there are eyes everywhere. You have a cell phone. You got a camera on each side of it. You got a computer. I'm looking at one right now. It's got a camera there, right there staring at me. There it is, the Eye of Horus. Remember, that's what that is. Same thing as the Google symbol. They are working on developing lots of things. And here we go. Here was a TV show titled 666 Park Avenue. If you notice here, it's a coiled serpent going all the way up, the serpent. This, some of you might be in denial of this one. Disney. You'll find that Disney hides 666 in their very name itself. And it shouldn't really surprise somebody. Oh, but it's Disney. It's soft and fluffy things. And oh, it's cute. Think about it for a minute. The Magic Kingdom. Have you ever looked at the little Mickey Mouse there with the hat? As a wizard with a wand? As he casts spells upon your children, sucking them into the magic kingdom, teaching them sorcery, witchcraft, and other types of things. It always comes off as something soft and fluffy and lovey-dovey and very, you know, just innocent, kind of cool, kind of neat. Those are the types of things that we need to be more aware of than the Iron Maiden. Heavy metal thrasher 666ers. People look at that and they expect that out of those people. But not out of Disney. I have to verify this one. I have not watched these videos. And I don't know which ones these are, but somebody did a work on this where they pointed out during one of the videos that in the background there was this on the chalkboard, the illuminate. Now all this goes back to the Garden of Eden, as we're going to find out, with the old serpent who told Eve that she would be illuminated if she partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then back here, you have, looks like a, you know, an eye test chart. A, ska, bout, illumin, what? If you put this together, ask, about, illuminate, illuminati, and I can't read the rest. The rest of it's probably more revealing. Now, again, I have not watched this video and paused it for myself to verify. But I do know, and I have seen some of this stuff, some other stuff in Disney that has been like that. I mean, here we go. And here it is. Walt Disney has got it there. 666. So six is everywhere. Six. Remember what Dr. Bollinger pointed out over 100 years ago, that six was stamped upon all the ancient mysteries, and it was beginning to be used today in modern movements. And down here on the backside of, I think this was Goofy, his skateboard. Oh, there you got the Eye of Horus, the all-seeing eye. The all-seeing eye. All right. Now, I know I probably have a lot of listeners that have been to Tea Party meetings. Probably part of the Tea Party right now. And the Tea Party does a lot of good things. But you need to be aware. You need to be aware of something. And that is the Don't Tread on Me flag, which has become the symbol of the Tea Party. Right off the bat here, we're looking at, now hear me out on this, and I'm going to explain. Not only going to show you something within the symbolism here of this snake, I'm going to show you some other evidence that you need to be careful of this movement. Not saying you can't be a part of it, you can't influence others in it, because it's good grounds for planting seeds of truth. But there are also some things we need to be aware of. Okay, so don't tread on me. Serpent there, he's hissing, got his tongue out. Right away, I know as a Christian that, whoa, wait a second, the serpent's out. It's a symbol of Lucifer, the symbol of Satan. Why would I want a flag like that? Well, look at this. Right off the bat, you have an inverted six. On the top of it, you see that there? And you have another one there. And another one there. In other words, 666. You couldn't get any more. This is like the perfect symbol for Satan. To have 666 and the serpent and him hissing. And I'll show you in a minute. So if we flip it that way, the don't tread on me, you have 666 written that way as well. And if you flip it the other way, you see 666 there as well. So 666, remember, we remember, equals SSS, because S in the Greek language, as well as other languages, I believe, the sigma or other symbols looking like an S, making that sound. In gematria, their numeric value is 6. And we'll probably go more in depth on numeric values as we get through this series. But So SSS, sound it out, makes the hiss of the serpent. Well, if you find out, if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, the word serpent there, that was a symbol of Satan, actually means to hiss. To hiss. Why do serpents hiss? Well, they hiss to paralyze and to frighten their prey. Is that what 666 is meant to do? Subliminally? When we see it, whether we realize it or not, is it an attempt by the enemy to cause us to freeze in place and to be overtaken by him? Think about that. Think about that. All right. So 666, when you sound it out again, it goes. All right. And also I'll mention this as well. I talked about this a little bit in a study we just did recently, that we need to be careful that we don't let political ideology become idolatry. In other words, you know, Tea Party movement, yeah, it's well and good, but shouldn't we be focused in on God's kingdom? Promoting the Ten Commandments and the teachings of Jesus Christ? Shouldn't that be our focus? You see, too often the Tea Party, just all they focus on is the goddess of liberty. Yes, liberty is a goddess. She's an idol. And whenever you leave God out of the equation, you lead towards that number 666. Because oftentimes we'll see that libertarianism, you've heard me talk about this before, we're going to tie a lot of these things together. Some of you, when I first brought it up, you might have been a little offended. Libertarianism, especially the radical libertarianism, in the end, leads to the same place. Rebellion against God and His law. Do what thou wilt. You'll find that it was even quoted by the one of the Satanists, I can't remember his name, Crowley. Aleister Crowley, I think his name was. Do what thou wilt. And you see people will put that up on shirts and stuff like that. Hey, in other words, you should be able to do whatever you want to do. Don't let anybody restrain you. Don't let anybody tell you not to do it. If you want an abortion, get an abortion. If you want to have gay sex, go ahead. Enjoy. And lots of other things. All right. Remember that, the Tea Party flag? Well, here's the symbol of Christian overcomers. It is the foot of Christ, of the seed of the woman, also the foot of you and I, who are part of that family, crushing the head of the serpent. Just as Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, Christ says, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents." Remember the flag of the Tea Party movement? Don't tread on me. That should raise red flags right away. So if you're thinking, oh, Pastor Ben, I think you're just playing with sixes in there. Aren't you going a little too far? Not when you go down to its prime root. Christ tells us to tread on the serpent. That flag tells us not to tread on the serpent. Hang with me. Christ says, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The symbol of our movement today, whether it's political, religious, you name it, I believe should be the symbol that we're using today. The foot, crushing the head of the serpent, completing the prophecy of Revelation chapter of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, the first prophecy of the entire Bible. And I think I have it here. Okay, there's the flag in opposition to ours. I don't have it, but I might have it a little bit later. So you might be saying, well, you know what? That don't tread on me flag is very special to me. It was the flag, original flag of the American Revolution, rebelling against Great Britain and her tyranny. Yes, I understand that. And I understand that at times the monarchy became corrupt and perverted, and even at times anti-Christian. But if you want to know the true reason behind, this may be hard for some people to accept right away, the true reason behind those attaching themselves to our nation, putting in flags like this, promoting rebellion against the crown, was because the crown of Great Britain was a power that, in other words, it was a power that they were in competition with. The serpent seed had to take down the throne, the power of the throne, of the crown of Great Britain, so that they could gain control. So that they could gain control. Because you know what? The seed line of the kings and queens of Britain, Ireland and Scotland and in Europe there, were descendants of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. And they actually were of the royal seed of David, governing over the children of Israel. And that brings it all full circle when you see that there's always been this battle between the serpent and the woman. So that flag, though many saw it as something different, I understand that. That flag, its esoteric meaning was the serpent versus the woman. The woman being the crown and the serpent being those that were part of the Illuminati and the Masons, trying to form a new civilization without God here in America. And we talked about in our studies in the book of Deuteronomy. All these things are going to tie together. Some of these things that you might not agreed with me at first on. Maybe you thought I was a little bit over the top. They're going to start coming together in this series of studies. And you're going to see it for what it is. You ever wonder why God was not mentioned in the Constitution? Because there were those among us. There were the tares among the wheat. Now, the original colonists that settled this nation came here for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God. This was a Christian nation. There are still a lot of Christians in this nation. A lot of our laws were formed off of the Ten Commandments and the teachings of Christ. But there were others here with different plans. And they were embedded in high places in government, working their conspiracy, using their symbols from their ancient pagan mystery religions, from the 666 religion. That's why you see we the people in the Constitution, instead of we the people set up as God, that we the people make the laws rather than Almighty God. Declaration of Independence, a little better. Better yet, the constitutions of the different colonies were here. They said that the Mayflower Compact, for one. They said they came here for the express purpose of spreading the gospel of the kingdom. Those are great. But again, the tares embedded themselves among the wheat to corrupt it. And there you see the old flag, right? Yeah, let's just get the serpent united, join or die. And I believe that was Benjamin Franklin made that. Now, going back to the Tea Party. One of the most revered philosophers by the Tea Party. Again, the Tea Party is not bad. It's made up of a lot of great people. But you have to be aware of the poison that's in and among the wheat, the tares. One of them being Ayn Rand, who was an atheist. I will even go as far as to say I'm pretty positive that she was of the serpent seed. She claimed to be of Judah, and I don't think she really was. I think she was of the synagogue of Satan of Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. But anyways, she's revered by many in the Tea Party movement and by libertarians alike because of her writings and so forth. And here's another picture of this beautiful woman here, right? And here you go, example here, Tea Party guy holding a flag. I am John Galt. Now, John Galt was a character from one of her writings. I believe it was in a book titled Atlas Shrugged. And I have not read it all. I've read bits and pieces of it. Maybe I'll have it read by the end of this series. But I know of some of the things that she promoted. Here's a different work of hers, the cover of Ayn Rand's first published work, Femme Fatale. I think that's how you pronounce it. But here you go. This is, interesting, right? Doesn't look like much to it. Well, let's look a little closer. See this woman here? Nice little curl on top of her head. It's a number 6. It's not even inverted. But here's another 6. This time it's inverted. So you wouldn't really see it unless you were attuned. Unless you were attuned. So this woman here has 666 on here, and she is called the Femme Fatale. What does that mean? Check this out. The dictionary definition here says an attractive and seductive woman, especially one who will ultimately bring disaster to a man who becomes involved with her. I'm going to talk about this a little bit. I believe this is an expression or a personification of ISIS, as well as what we know ISIS to be in the book of Revelation, Mystery Babylon the Great. And I'll show you here. First, we'll go to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell." That is the destiny of Mystery Babylon the Great. But it's important to know that she is seductive. She lures her victims, she lures her prey in. Like a serpent. You know, when a serpent wants to attack its prey, it'll do a little head bob. And it makes the victim freeze, you know, like a little dance. Sort of like some of these dances we see with some of these pop stars. Putting people into a trance. Just like the serpent and the different vibrations. Revelation 17, verse 1, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So the kings of the earth are in bed with her. Now, this is in a figurative sense. Isis, symbolizing Mystery Babylon, the 666 secret symbol that she uses. Somehow she gets the kings of the earth in bed with her. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. So God, Almighty God here is describing to us who Isis really is. Isis is also known, and I'm going a little bit more in depth. I should save some of this for our later studies, but Isis means the mother, the mother goddess. Well, God knows that she is the mother of harlots. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery. It's actually a secret symbol. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. It is her. She is the fountainhead of all false religion on earth today. Anyways, I'm going to run through these fast. I'm just going to kind of plant some seeds with you here, and we'll go in deeper in later studies. This one might surprise some of you. I didn't know about it before. I never saw it before. It seemed harmless to me as well. I mean, I had shirts of it myself. I thought, oh, cool. A superhero, right? Well, Superman is the one given power by the serpent. He is the ultimate S, or the ultimate six. He comes to save the day, right? Well, guess what he has on his chest here? You don't even have to be that astute to see this. It's a serpent. A serpent in the form of an S on Superman's chest. In other words, you could call him the Serpent Man, the hero, the savior, the Antichrist. It's shocking, isn't it? It really is shocking. But this is part of the mark of the beast here. And our children look up to this character as a superhero. You know, instead of learning, a lot of children don't learn much about Christ. They don't learn much about Jesus Christ, but they know who Superman is. Do you think that's an accident? Do you think that's an accident? The secret symbol of Isis. You see this here? The goddess of the earth. Her symbol says, ancient seal showing the imprint of S-shaped serpent crossed by two human thigh bones. What does that look like to you? Well, if you turn it around, you would see that it is the symbol that we use for money today. And there is a lot more into that that we'll go into. So in other words, 666 is right here, hidden within the money symbol. But you might be saying, well, Pastor Ben, how can you say this means Isis, or the money symbol means Isis? Well, it's a cipher. The enemy does this in their logos everywhere. Ciphers, and you have to encrypt them. Or decipher them. They're encrypted. What you do is here, you see the S is connected to both of these eyes. They're thigh bones that are eyes. So you repeat the S twice. You just go I-S, I-S, Isis. That's simple. Hidden in plain sight. An open conspiracy, even if you would. And it goes back here, like I said, everything goes back to this prophecy, and this is why I'm stressing it so important. People will try to take this away from you. They'll try to ridicule you. If this is hidden from you, other things will be closed off. All these ancient mystery religions, everything comes back to this prophecy, and I'm going to read it. And I will put enmity, a warfare, between thee, that's the serpent, and the woman, between two families, two different races, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Two families, two messiahs. And you'll see why I'm pointing this out here now. Here is Isis here. Isis nursing Horus. Very interesting, huh? A woman with a child. A woman with a child. Do you see what's on their heads? A serpent. Oh, so he is the seed of the serpent? Here's another picture. Wonderful, isn't it? A woman and child. What does that remind you of? Well, here I'm going to look at, we're going to look at this first. The Trinity of Evil. Here's Horus when he grows up. There is Osiris, the father figure, and Isis, sort of the mother figure. Well, she is the mother. All these serpents right here. I guess the serpent seed really isn't that important, is it? Like many would have you believe, and many would try to attack you and make you not believe it. Well, anyways, one thing you'll notice about Horus, and we'll get into this later on, looks like he doesn't look like these do completely. He's got some animal characteristics, some beastly characteristics. Strange, huh? Well, perhaps it has a meaning. There they are again. All right. Look at this picture here. Horus, baby Horus with the serpent on his head, and baby Jesus. Mother with the serpent on her head, the cobra. And here's Mary. Now some, the enemies of Christianity and freedom, would have you believe that Christianity is a pagan religion. Because before Mary even gave birth to Christ, thousands of years beforehand in Egypt, and probably even back into Babylon, there was a story of a mother and a savior who would give birth to a savior. So that means Christianity is just fake, right? And Christianity just copied it, right? It's just another pagan religion. Be careful, my friends. That shouldn't even be a question to somebody who understands that there are two physical seed lines on this earth. And if you don't have that understanding, you might be in danger of worshiping the Antichrist. Because what you have here between Horus and Jesus is the serpent seed who would give birth to the false Messiah. And you have the woman seed who would give birth to the Christ child, the true Messiah. Two seeds, two families, two messiahs. And all of the world's history has revolved around the battle between those two families. And that is why Christianity is so attacked today. Because it is the arch enemy of this family. They have a hierarchy. They have a royal line. Just as our family has a royal line, the seed of David. And there it is again. I'll put in Genesis 3:15. All right, then you have this symbol here. We are going long, and I'm just going to keep going because this is important. Here's a thimble of the Theosophical Society. As a serpent here, it says there is no religion higher than the truth. Oh, the serpent's the truth? Really? And here you have a six-pointed star, two triangles, one pointing up, one pointed down. and a swastika. Why would we have those two symbols? Well, right now we know the Theosophical Society is the occult. These symbols were here before, used by these organizations before World War II. Many of you understand that this is supposedly the Star of David, right? And that this symbol here is the swastika of the Nazis. Why would this occult group, going by the symbol of the swastika, attack the other occult group that goes by the six-pointed star or hexagram? Why would that be? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I'm going to show you, because they were one and the same. One and the same. There's some more things. 666, we'll talk about this. This is, if you want to understand the number 666, this is definitely something you need to understand, the six-pointed star. And there, this same thing is again. And there you see the swastika is actually used at a Buddha, used for the Buddhists. Interesting, huh? Well, I thought that just started with Nazi Germany. I thought it was just a symbol of white supremacy or Aryan nations or something like that. No, my friends. That is the exoteric meaning. That's the meaning the initiated ones want you to think that it means. But it means something else, and is the key to understanding world history as well as what's happening today. Did you know that the word Holocaust actually means a burnt offering or sacrifice? Why in the world would somebody name it that? And why in the world are there two symbols used by the same groups? The swastika and the six-pointed star. I thought they were polar opposites. I thought one was good and one was evil. Well, look at this here for a second. I'm going to explain that a little bit to you here. Well, actually, before I go into that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what the swastika, who used it first. It was used first by a king named Sargon the Great, whom many scholars believe was Cain himself. Sargon meaning King Cain. He used the symbol of the swastika to represent himself as the fire priest before an abyss. I think an abyss of fire. Does that not remind you of Moloch practice? Where the priests would, the people would bring their children and up to the priests, and the priests would throw them off the cliff into the abyss, into a burning fire. And many of you understand that Zionism today actually funded Hitler. Did you know that? Some people higher up, those people who claim to be of Judah, the higher up elites, were actually funding people who were to persecute and kill some of their own, to which they call their lesser brethren. In other words, what you have going on there. In World War II, you had the serpent seed make a grand sacrifice with Hitler as their officiating priest. Because he was the symbol of the swastika, right? When you see a swastika, you think Hitler. Who, and everybody knows he was involved in the occult. So Hitler was the officiating priest for the Holocaust or burnt offering. In other words, the six-pointed star and the swastika were working together. To do what? To make a sacrifice, to burn up their own children, so that they could gain Jerusalem for the Antichrist and the New World Order to be headquartered there. That was a huge sacrifice, a pagan ritual performed in front of the entire world. And yet very few understood it. Very few understood it today. Understand it today. All right, and I'm going to explain a little bit. I'll just say it right now, and we'll cover the slides. Mystery Babylon deceives the world by her sorcery, witchcraft. That includes sacrifices, rituals, and everything on a mass scale. And today we have a terrorist group being funded by the same illuminated ones, the Order of the Serpent, to cause chaos and destruction in the Middle East, to break down the remaining nations that are in opposition to a new world order. And you know what happens after ISIS comes? She gives birth to Horus, the false savior. We'll get into that in a later study. Here we go, light and dark, the yin-yang. Many of you have seen this before. This yin-yang here, I believe, this is my supposition, and we'll probably maybe get into this a little deeper as we go. Light and dark, you see this in a lot of their symbols. You see it in within the six-pointed star, even for the Theosophical Society. Well, it means good and evil. Remember the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Light meaning good, dark meaning evil. Well, the enemy uses light and dark to further their plans. This is part of the art of deception. And I'm going to just cover this quickly. Here's an example of how they use light and dark as a mode of deception. Bad witch, right? Wicked witch of the, I don't know if this is the East or the West. And then you have the good witch. Look at her. Nice, nice witch, right? Well, guess what? They are one and the same. One looks nasty. One looks dark. Everybody hates her, right? Everybody knows she's evil. But you don't know that the good witch supposedly is evil. You kind of like her when you're watching The Wizard of Oz. But she is the one that you have to be more aware of. The ones promoting unity, love, peace, prosperity. In other words, they create a boogeyman so that you will accept the other one whom they prop up as the good one. Well, we just happen to know that in the Bible, there are no such thing as good witches. So how can she be good? Every Christian should automatically think that, even though many of us growing up as a child, we thought, well, yeah, there are good witches and bad witches, white magic and dark magic. No, there's not. That's the art of deception, my friend. And that's how the Antichrist will come in. Example, let's just pretend this dark one is ISIS, this terrible group that's beheading people and causing terror. And then comes the white, the Antichrist, being in peace and prosperity for all. You'll accept that because you hate that, right? Well, most will. It's just the oldest trick in the book that Satan uses, the yin-yang. So God says here, he says, when you come into your land, you shouldn't have, I'm not going to read all these verses because we're going long, but God says we're not supposed to have witches, enchanters, diviners, or wizards. I don't know if I have the slide here or not, but I'm going to read this here. There was a slide, if I went into it, I'll see if I have it, but it's got the Wizard of Oz and the road leading there. And it actually ends in the form of a six. But anyways, Revelation 18, verse 23 here, it says that Mystery Babylon deceives the world by her sorceries. It's not just the pharmaceutical industry, although that's a part of it, but it's by her rituals, her mastermind of deception, how she casts spells upon the world with her sorcery and her symbols and so forth. Here's this thing we're going to go into. It's a pagan amulet. If you add all these numbers up, it equals 666. And you'll see 6-pointed stars here and all kinds of other goodies. And here you see another one of these. It's called a magic square or whatever. Very important thing to understand with the number 666. Here it is again. I'll close it with this question here. And I didn't have the other Wizard of Oz pictures. I should have had it on there. Perhaps I'll show you later. The Yellow Brick Road leads all the way to the Wizard, and you have this grand light palace and a rainbow on top of it. And it ends in the figure of a six. All that path, that road, this is important for 666, because it's, if you want to understand it, it's hidden right out in plain sight. The end goal is to bring us to the six. So why hide 666 everywhere? Why do they do this? And for what purpose? Well, 666 represents the final stage of man's ultimate rebellion against God. It means your rebellion is complete. You've turned on God. There is no higher stage of initiation. You've received the mark of the beast once you get there. As you know, the Freemasons have their all their different levels, so you get to the 33rd level, the top, and then you know you're worshiping Lucifer. Well, that's what 666 is for the that's what they're trying to lead the whole world to reach that ultimate state of rebellion against the Creator. But, so why do they write this? Well, think about this for a minute. When a lot of people, success seminars and stuff, they'll tell you that you need to write down your goals. Write down your stated goals, because once you write them down, there's something that happens between your mind and your actions, and you start going towards that goal. Like I said, what is the ultimate goal of Satan? It's to bring man to ultimate rebellion against God, to bring them to himself. So he states that stated ultimate goal all over the place, all around us, hidden in plain sight, so that it resonates with our subconscious mind, so that we work towards his goal. We work towards the Antichrist. It's amazing when you get into this is strong meat. But it's strong meat that we need to have, because the battle is coming. The battle is waging. The enemy is trying to penetrate our mind everywhere. And really, again, when you look at it, it's witchcraft, it's sorcery. He's trying to cast a spell upon us. He's trying to brainwash us, though we don't even realize it. But also think of this. Have you ever heard the old slogan, "You are what you eat"? Well, it's true, especially in the spiritual sense. Like Christ said, he is the living bread. We're supposed to eat of him. Why? So that we become more like him. We take his words into us so that we can do the things that he does, to think like he does, to do acts of righteousness. Well, what does Satan want us to do? He wants us to partake of the tree of good and knowledge, of good and evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because he wants us to be made after his image. He wants to transform us. And if we continually absorb 666 and all of the doctrines that are part of that 666, then we become 666. We become stamped with his number and his mark. Hey, don't miss any in this series of studies. It's paramount that we understand the wiles and the tricks of the serpent. Do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you consume it. Digest it. Meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you. And thank you for your support.